Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Morning. Good morning. Can you make the lights brighter so I don't have to look? I'm just kidding you. Oh, come on. Laugh a little bit. You guys. Good morning. How you doing? You look good, actually. Amen. Well, it's a pleasure. Clive, it's so wonderful to be here. And you know, you're family to me. And I've been here since year 2000 is when we came to the church. And we've been doing the London Crosswalk now for 16 years at Christmas. London Crosswalk in December, 16 years now. And we've done probably about 25 London Crosswalks because we do Easter as well. And so you go ahead and be seated. Some of you are looking at me like... Sit down too. So, yesterday and Friday, actually, the London Crosswalk begins on a Thursday night where we have a training session. For 2 hours and 20 minutes, we trained and we prayed, and the time went so fast. Didn't feel like 2 hours and 20 minutes, Clive. I mean, it went. And then yesterday, Friday, it was a 14-hour day. See, a lot of people don't understand. It's a long day. Just to get up to London and get back is about 8 hours, okay? And so, long day. Friday, 15,000 people took the tracks. We prayed with some people. And but the nations of the world are moving through London. And it was just a tremendous time. We were at the Edith Cavell statue right up there near Leicester Square, and we were preaching there. And a man just came and sat down behind me and just stayed. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, just go pray with him and lead him to me right now. And so I did. And I said, have you ever received Christ? He said, no. Would you like to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Lord? He said, yes, I would. I said, well, let's just pray. And he let me love on him. I knew there were some issues in his life, but I believe the Holy Spirit knows the times and seasons of men, and he moved him right behind the preaching. And he gave his life to Christ. And I know Neil, Brother Neil, I don't know if he's here, the Scottish guy. Man, I don't understand him. but when he speaks to people, there's an anointing. And he can communicate the gospel. And it's really wonderful to watch. I mean, it's wonderful. And so we're outside McDonald's, and he led a guy to the Lord right there. It's tremendous. And so there were different things like that going on throughout the time that we were there. And then yesterday, we went up there, and half the team size, we had a little bit smaller team, and half the time, and 7,000 people took the tracks. And standing, you know, from the steps of Parliament. And, you know, Clive, when I met Prince Charles way back, and that anointing for Britain came on me and it opened this thing up, I never knew that the granddaddy of this ministry would be London. And that's why I come here, because it puts things into operation for other things that we do. And, you know, you have an anointing on your nation for the preaching of the gospel. Okay? And so I believe that's why God sent me, is to pick up on it. Okay. And, you know, it was funny during those years of birthing this ministry, because when I came to England, I didn't know I'd be doing this. I had no idea. And the Lord had an idea. I didn't. And I was ready to quit and go home. I wasn't going to do it. And then God stepped in and I met Prince Charles, and anointing for Britain came on me. And then things began to shift. And it was a lot of pressing, a lot of battle, warfare. And so now I look back and I see the hundreds and hundreds of thousands upon thousands of leaflets that have gone to the ends of the earth, from London to Papua New Guinea and a whole lot in between. They've gone all over. And I get so many people that tell me, thank you for what you do, because it was a track that saved my soul. Yeah. I took in that loneliness of being at home. I read the tract and I was able to hear God, and the Holy Spirit came on me. So what we do is we're a plower, a planter. I'm an initiator of the kingdom of God. When I walk out with the cross, the gift of faith will come down and begin to put things into operation. People walk by us, then they turn around and come back and take a track. Some people, as we're giving out, they'll wait patiently for us to turn around so they can have a tract. What does that? What is it when someone throws a tract down and then someone walking by just reaches down? I'm talking about, you know, wealthy, middle-class people. And they just pick it up off the ground and walk off reading it. What causes that? It's a 4P piece of paper. It's not even colorful. It's just yellow and black. The guy has a funny piece of wood. It looks like a cross, but it's not the cross of Christ. His cross took our sins. My cross simply has a wheel. People tell me that all the time. I say, oh, that's a wheel. How did that get on there? I thought Jesus had a wheel. I didn't know. See, the Romans didn't know. It's John Hutchinson's fault. He's the one who built it. But all the multiplied thousands upon thousands of people from this place. I just remember those first years before I moved here, I was coming through Gatwick Airport from Russia. And we were circling to land, and the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, I've called you to be a seed of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And you know, when the Lord speaks to you, it's so wonderful, isn't it? You have no idea what he means. It takes time sometimes. You know what it means, but it takes some time to begin to understand what he meant. And that's the holy thing about it. He wants to develop you as you walk with him to begin to understand the purpose and plans of God for your life. So, amen. So we just had awesome 2 days. You know, the problem was, a whole lot of you haven't gone on a crosswalk with me. What's going on? What are you waiting for? You ought to come. Amen. You're missing out. Because we have a lot of fun. One thing about a crosswalk is team dynamic. We just love each other. We talk about working together. I do a lot of teaching on team dynamic, of how we need each other, how each person's important. And then we go out and we pray a lot and we just have a great time. And then we stop at McDonald's and get coffee and all kinds of stuff. And it's just a wonderful time, you know. So 12-hour days go so quick. You're like, how, is it done? Yeah, it's done. Because God was moving through the nation. And we just picked up and moved with him. And seed was moving. Seed was moving. Seed was moving. And so it's great. And so it's wonderful to be back. We love London. We love Britain. We love you. All right? When we're not with you, we think about you. We really do. And so this morning, I got a word to preach to you. Are you ready? I get a little bit loud, so I hope, you know, if you got hearing aids, turn them down right now, because sometimes you see those smoke going up. I had older gentleman once said, you don't need a microphone. That's what he said, yelled out. I said, yeah, you're right, actually. I don't need a microphone, but we use them. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the power of the blood of Jesus. I believe that the time that we live in, that heaven is demanding us to use the weapons of God. This morning is an equipping session to strengthen you to rise up and use what heaven has given to you. I remember a couple years ago, and I know I've told this story. I'm going to tell it again. My wife and I were driving down I-95 from Washington, D.C. down to Miami, right? We're on the road, and my wife and I, we just love to pray together. That's how we started our friendship. We started it with evangelism and prayer. And I didn't kiss her for 6 months. I didn't touch her. We just prayed and had a great friendship. And we build our relationship on holiness before God. And so that's how we've always lived our life. And we're driving down. I'm in my Suburban. I've got my daughter behind me in the middle seat. My wife is right behind me because I drive in such a way she doesn't like sitting up front. And I say, "You got a fear problem." She says, "You got a driving problem." I say, "Father, oh, you know." So we're going down. It's early in the morning and we're praying Psalms 91 because we love Psalms 91. We live in Psalms 91. I dwell in the secret place. Angels are around me. Amen. We pray it. We take authority. You got to use authority. Amen. It's one thing I tell the team. You got to use authority when you're out here. Someone says no, don't let that spirit prevail. We're not asking the world what they think. We're telling them what God thinks. Amen. And he loves them. He lifts them. He makes the rain come down upon them. He's so merciful. So we're driving down I-95 and my daughter, she goes, "Dad, can I get in the back with our dog?" I say, "You go in the way back." Suburban's a pretty big vehicle. So, you know, it's a whole nother area of the world back there. So she moves back and it was God. God was doing this whole thing. And so we're driving down and in a pickup truck is a dually. He's got four tires in the back and they pull big, big trailers. He's blowing down the road at 80 miles an hour. He just zips by me. These trucks, because they can carry a big trailer, they have a big trailer hitch. But in order to carry little trailers, they get an adapter and it goes in there. And you're supposed to put a pin in there to hold it in. He didn't have a pin. And for some reason, the devil just saw fit to let that hitch come out when he passed me. It's about a 5-pound, 6-pound piece of pipe. And at 80 miles an hour, and I'm at 70, I guess. I'm at the speed limit, maybe a little bit more, you know, something. He was going faster than me. I was going 72. I was about 2 miles over. So he blows by, and that thing comes out. Now, my wife doesn't see it. She's praying. I'm watching it and praying. Watch and pray. You know what I'm saying? And that thing, with all the momentum, is just swirling and hitting and hitting and hitting. And when I get up to it, it bounces up in the air, and then it's like it's thrown right through my windshield. And right before it did, the presence of God came on me. It torpedoed a hole through my glass, popped it, filled the front full of glass and smoke. Where my daughter had been sitting was full of glass, but she moved. Ooh, amazing. It tears the dashboard, tears the steering wheel, hits me, and I catch it. So I step on it, because I'm going to catch the guy. Because of what he just did. I thought, my insurance isn't going to pay for this. You see how I'm thinking? I'm alive. I'm not dead. So I'm thinking insurance now. So my wife, she doesn't know. She's like, "What are you doing? Slow down." I'm like, "No way. I got to catch this guy." So I catch him up. I catch up to him. And I'm waving this adapter, this hitch. He's like. So he pulls over. And he comes out there and he looks at this hole. It looked like someone took a double barrel shotgun and just blew a hole. The windshield stayed intact. It was the hole right where I was. And he starts to shake. He thought for sure you should be dead. I said, "Let me tell you, good thing." Now, this is what I said. When adrenaline's flowing, you get by with a lot. I said, "Thank God you did it to me, because we're Christians and my wife and I were praying Psalms 91. And when you blew by me and that hitch came out, the presence of God came over me and I caught it. It hit me, but I didn't really feel it." So the police came. He's got his. "So what happened?" I said, "Thank God they did it to me." He's like, They have to, you know, take the notes. The police said, I've never seen anything like that. He says, usually the whole windshield gets blown out. And I said to Beth, I said, there was powder. There's like a chalky powder. I said, nothing touched my eyes. I was able to drive. And so, whew, we have weapons. And I want to talk about that this morning. Is that all right?
Yeah.
You got your Bible? Before we talk about the blood of Jesus, we need to talk about Jesus. Because if it's his blood, we need to know who he is. I was just in Albania walking with the cross. And, you know, Albania is very beautiful. A lot of beautiful people down there. And there's a lot of people who don't believe that God has a son. And I said, well, that's what I'm going to preach. Because the Bible talks about it over 70 times in the New Testament. The Bible declares God has a son. Whew. What do you do with that? Well, let's take a look at it. Are you ready? Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Father, I'm asking for your anointing. I already know it's here. So I just love you so much, Jesus. Thank you for allowing me to speak your word and touch my friends in Jesus' name. Equip them. Matthew 16 and verse 13. And Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He said, Son of Man. Say, Son of Man. Son of Man. Man. How do we, you guys love your accent? Well, I go, my Siri on my iPhone's British. So I can practice. So he says, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? He didn't say Son of God. He was enforcing, I have come as a man. I have come in the flesh. I have come like you. I have authority. That's what he said. That's what he's saying right here. Man, Son of Man. Now watch this. So they say, well, you know, some people say you're John the Baptist, others Elias, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? And this is the question that determines your eternity. The most important question in the Bible is, who do you say the Son of Man is? So he lays it right on them. There's Peter. I like Peter. I identify a lot with Peter. I like him. I like him a lot. He got out of the boat. Right? Amen? He got out of the boat. He sliced the guy's ears off. I mean, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. And Peter said, he said, you are the Mashiach. You are the Christ. You're anointed. You are the Son of the living God. Who do men say, I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, you're the Son of the living God. Jesus said, Son of Man. Peter said, Son of God. Now watch this. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So now we see the power that God is speaking from his throne. Peter's sitting there. Jesus said, Son of Man. And he's like, Son of God. And he was listening. He was listening. And that revelation was working in him. He's the Son of God. Now watch this. He said, and you're Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against what? It. The revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It's the power of this revelation. We have to be a people of this revelation. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, let me tell you something. Before he came in Bethlehem, which we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas, he was not the Son of God in heaven. He was the Word of God. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit of God. He became like us without sin, making him the Son of God. See, God wanted children. And those children he gave full authority to. You have no idea what the eternities to come have in store for you. You loved him without seeing him. You rejoiced without knowing him in his flesh. And I'm telling you, in the eternities to come, God is going to pour out the full weight of his glory upon us. And you're going to see his face. You have no idea. God wanted a family with full authority and rights to all that he has. When I go home to my parents' house, I walk right through the door. I don't knock. I go right to the refrigerator. I don't ask. I find where my mother stashes the chocolate. Do you think I ask? I don't ask. Unless she's looking. Got to be smart. That's how it works. God wanted children. He's Abba, Father. He's not Father. Thank God he's Father. But he's also Abba. Closeness. Sensitive. Wonderful. If all you do is call him Father, you're missing out. You got a little bit of a boring relationship. He's Papa as well. Papa, Father. When you get before him, you're going to find out with all the majesty and glory, there's a side of him. He says, I'm better than the father you had. I'm far better. Whew. I don't know what that means, but I'm willing to find out. Amen? So turn to 1 John. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. I'm going to zip through these scriptures, okay? 1 John 5, 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed, is born of God. Now you understand, the Word became flesh, became the Son of God, that through his death and resurrection, God could get children. You're born of God. Not you're born of man, you're born of God. You're a child of God. Whew. Everyone that loves him that begot loves him also that's begotten of him. Okay? Verse 4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Say overcomes. Overcomes. Say it again. Overcomes. That means complete victory. Almost victory. No. Complete victory. Complete dominion. To the degree that we as a people walk in that revelation, what causes the Apostle Paul to get stoned and pretty much be dead and then to pop back up again and go preach? What really is it? It's this revelation. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You know, when Esau and Jacob. Remember Jacob? He kind of did some bad things. He kind of, you know, finagled a blessing. So he goes down and one night he lays down and takes a rock and makes it his pillow. And that night he gets a vision of heaven opening with angels coming and going. And then God Almighty speaking to him. You know what he did the next morning? He got up and said, oh my, God is in this place. And then He takes oil and he pours it upon that rock. symbolizing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That when we come upon that rock of revelation, God pours the oil down upon us as his body. When Nebuchadnezzar had a vision of the world empires, he said, everything was great until this rock gets cut out of a mountain without a hand. He'll be born of a virgin. No man's hand was involved in it. And he said that rock began to move until it smites this whole statue of the world system. That is the rock of revelation. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you have power to overcome. Complete victory. Complete victory. Complete victory. John G. Lake, in the middle of a bubonic plague, they said, don't touch those people. He said, I have no fear. What is inside of me flowing out in that revelation was killing the plague as it touched his body. You are a temple of the living God. And he never leaves the glory out of his temple. We were made to manifest. And I believe that we're living in a time where the manifestation of the sons of God, that God, there has to be a trembling in the earth. You know why there's earthquakes? Come on. You know why?
Global warming.
Forget it. They were talking about global warming at the Tower of Babel. Destruction. Let's build a tower and deliver ourselves. It's the same religion at Babel that they're speaking today in order to gain control of you. We stand and say, my God oversees this planet. Until we're done preaching the gospel, nothing happens. We have authority. Is that all right? If it's in the book of Revelation, it will happen. If it's not, it ain't. Amen? So get off all this stuff. Get people's mind back to Revelation. Let me tell you really what's going to happen. The church is going to get out of here, and then all hell breaks out for 7 years. You don't want to be here. That's what's going to happen. How'd I get over here? How you doing? Nice to see you. How you doing?
Thank you.
Good. I didn't get to shake your hand this morning.
Thank you.
God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Let's now look at what the Bible says. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. Because you need these scriptures. You need these scriptures. Matthew 3. Clive said I can preach till 5. 5 after. Matthew chapter 3 verse 17. God is the first one that declared this. It says this, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hey, let me tell you, when God speaks, it doesn't matter what you think. God said, that's my son, whether you accept it or not, I've already spoken it, and I am very pleased in him. Matthew chapter 17, go over there real quick. Why does he shout? Because I don't know how to talk. Matthew 17, 5. I didn't say it's the prettiest sermon you're ever going to hear. It says this, while he spake, now this is another situation. A bright cloud, a cloud of light came. You know God dwells in light. In him there is no darkness. And he said, I've called you as children of light. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill. It says this, a bright cloud of light overshadowed them. Now, I don't know what a shadow of light is like. Do you? No, you don't. You got to experience it. Amen? A shadow of light. That must have been Peter's shadow. When he walked down the road and sick people, they said, let's get in his shadow. But it was a shadow of light. And sick people began to stand up and be healed. Whew. And a voice came out of that cloud of light that said, this is my loved son in whom I am well pleased. Let me tell you, when God says it, it's done. Amen. God said it. God said, he's my son. Let's look at John the Baptist. Let's see what he said. You ready? You got to get these scriptures, because when people say God doesn't have a son, guess what? You can say, well, wait a minute. 2,000 years ago in the New Testament, it's got a lot to say about the son. John chapter 1. Let's take a look at this. Let's look. Because I'm going to tell you about the blood of Jesus, but we got to go through these scriptures, because you want to know if his blood has power, you got to know why. Because when you begin to declare the blood of Jesus, you're going to have to know why it moves mountains. As you stand in that blood. Verse 133. I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So God said it, and John the Baptist said it. That's pretty good. Let's look at Matthew. I got to get my notes here because I made a little change here. Matthew chapter 8:29. Matthew 8:29. Matthew 8:29. You're going to love this next one. Matthew 8:29. And the devil said, what have we to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? Even the devils know he's the Son of God. God said it. John the Baptist said it. The devils say it. I'm not too concerned what you say. God doesn't have a son. Oh, God said it. John the Baptist said it. Even the devil said, you know, when the devil came to tempt Jesus, he's such a bad guy. He always starts if. When he talks to your head, he goes, if. And when the word if automatically begins to divide your mind and your heart. See, little faith can move a mountain, can it? But little faith mixed with if does nothing. And that's why Jesus, many times he said, you of little faith. And he wasn't talking about little faith moving mountains. He was saying, it's the other stuff you've mixed with it. I know in my own life, I have to work with this. And so do you. Amen? That's part of life. Is getting your faith strong without the extra. Amen? The devil said it. John the Baptist said it. Now watch this. Let's look at what the disciples said. You know the disciples, Matthew 14, 32. What's the victory that overcomes the world? This revelation. Mark 14, 30. Oh boy, I put that one down wrong. Oh, here it is. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Jesus was walking on the water, okay? And they were in the ship. They worshiped him and said, of truth, you are the Son of God. So the disciples even said it. God said it. John the Baptist said it. The devil said it. The disciples said it. But let's look at what Jesus said in Matthew 9:35. Actually, John 9:35. John 9:35. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" He went right to the heart of it. And the man answered and said, "Lord, who is he that I may believe on him?" And Jesus said, "You have both seen him, and it's he that talks with you." Wouldn't you like to have been in the room and hear Jesus say that? I mean, I'd like to hear God say it. I don't care about the devils. I really don't care about men. It's good that we say it, but I want to hear Jesus say it. "I am the Son of God." Whew, that's going to shake some things. What is the revelation that overcomes the world? It is in this one revelation who Christ is. And it's on this foundation the very church is established. You know, I'm working on a book on the book of Acts. I looked through all the persecution in the book of Acts. It's quite interesting, Clive, quite interesting. And it's amazing. You know, you want to hear miracles. You want to hear all these. When you study the persecution, you go, wow. It came from religious leaders. It came from government. It came from business leaders. Using the power of economics to intimidate the church. We're building idols. What you're preaching is affecting our money. You see, a man will get an idea. I'm going to build an idol. By my own hands, it will be a powerful idol. I will build it. I will take it to the market. And I will sell it to someone who wants to worship my idol. So a man comes to the market and sees all the idols and says, "I need a mighty idol. Did your hands make this one?" "Yes, it did. I'll buy it." He takes it home and he worships an idol that was made by a man's hands. Then one day he drops the idol and it breaks. So he says, "I'll take it back to the man who made it originally." You got the idea? It's all man. There's no power. I just came back from Asia and I was looking at all the idols. Sometimes they're broken and they kind of, you can see where they fix them. It's a mighty idol. This is a mighty one. One revelation that determines your eternity. Jesus said, "You're looking at him." Now I'm going to tell you about the blood of Jesus, because you need to be speaking and putting the blood of Jesus Christ. If he's the Son of God, how powerful is his blood? Take a look at Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews 8. I'm not a teacher, but I'm trying to teach a little bit. Because let me tell you something. We live in a time where we've got to get our weapons out. We got to keep these weapons strong. You spend time with the Lord and you stir these weapons up. And when 1,000's falling to your side and 10,000 at your right hand, you go, "It didn't come nigh me." When I get on an airplane, I say, "Airplane, you're going to fly and land, or I don't fly on you." Hello? Hebrews chapter 8. And verse 6, "Now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he's the mediator of a better covenant." Say better covenant. Based upon better promises. Say better promises. You know, when you read the Bible, I mean, there's some powerful things in that Bible in the Old Testament. And then there's a doctrine that came, well, God doesn't do things anymore the way he used to. And yet the Bible says what we live in is far better than what they lived in. It's better. And what's it based upon? It's based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. Now take a look at Hebrews chapter 9. God's going to heal some things in marriages this morning. I'm getting you ready. Because I'm going to teach you how to pray over your marriage. You know, sometimes in marriage, when two people come together, well, there's some things that need to be worked out. Sometimes when you're dealing with people, you notice, and especially because I was in youth ministry, when kids start to reach more of a mature age, then you see these spiritual things start to happen in their personalities. Where all of a sudden, they just kind of put a wall up and shut people out. They don't even know they do it. And when you carry these kind of things into marriage, then what happens is these walls occur where the other spouse is not receiving what they have a right to receive. Because there's something happened and an invisible wall goes out and shuts them out, and they can't get in there. And then they start to think, well, I don't know how to explain this to you. And then the other person is so used to it, they say, no, that's you. And then there's a division. And it's the blood of Jesus that can go into the bond of marriage to begin to preserve that core of that covenant. And when two people become in love with each other, then they have to listen to each other. In my marriage, I've had to say, Beth, you know, this is what I'm seeing. And it's just the same with me, because you know what? We're related to people that have stuff, and so are you. How many of you are related to people that you just wonder, how did I get born into that family? You sure? Sure. How many of you are coming from homes that were broken? A lot of people. No, not many people raise their hands. Well, since I know. The blood of Jesus Christ is covenant blood. A man and a woman in that holy institution called marriage that God designed to reflect the Christ and his body. God designed marriage. It belongs to him. It was never created for the world. There was no sinners when he created it. It was a man and his wife walking in the glory and in fellowship with the Almighty as children. That in the bond of marriage, they're able to produce children in their image that belong to the Almighty. Satan hates that. And if he can corrupt it and pervert it, he will fight it. Marriage is a man and a woman. Created by God to reflect his glory. And when men bypass what he's done, he warns nations. Do not do this. And in that blood comes in that union of that marriage, to bathe it. I plead the blood of Jesus over my marriage. I say that core bond of my relationship with my wife, I plead the blood over it. I wash it in the blood. I wash it in the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood. I see the blood by faith covering my marriage, covering that. Why? So that your children will have peace. So that your children will grow up in a home where there's peace. If you live in a home where the spouse is not saved, You plead the blood of Jesus. You have the right that your children can be sanctified through your faith. Amen. But you bring the blood of Jesus and you put it over the doorposts. Yes. Amen. Come on. Because Jesus is the Son of God. Yes. And that revelation of who he is what the church is based upon. And the gates of hell have tried, but they've never been successful in overcoming it. And when you take the blood of the Son of God and you plead it over your life by faith, it's power. They overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, not loving their life unto the death. The blood, the word, and you loving Jesus more than you loving yourself. Satan cannot stop that. You know, a few years ago, I was in Rome with the cross. I took the team down. They had never been to the Circus Maximus. And after the crosswalk down in center of Rome, we went over there. And I said, I want you to gaze down in that field right there. Because a whole lot of people just like you, real Christians, who refuse to bow their knees to the unrighteousness of that government. And say, we're not bowing our knees. We're going to love Jesus. He is the Christ. We've given him our lives. And men held their wives' hands as lions and gladiators were released onto the field. As the world cheered as they were slaughtered, the grace of God came down. And before you know it, man and wife and children walked into the golden streets of heaven. I refuse to bow my knees and let go of that revelation, because it is the rock that brings all the governments of the world down at the feet of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I love Britain because we have a queen here who made a covenant before God to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray for her. Long life. Let it go long. Let it go Noahic. 950 years will be good. Let her just live. This nation's important. Very important. That covenant of Jesus Christ over this nation, so important. So important. I know the kids are coming in. I guess I've gone a little long. I didn't get to my sermon. Listen, we live in a day where the lines are being drawn. Yeah. You got to decide. There's no middle ground. You can't have a leg on both sides. It's either Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I love to speak about him. I love to tell people about him. We are Christians. We don't blend into culture. We're different than culture. But we love people. We love culture. We love the people of the world. But we're light to them. Very clear light of the things that God has said. Amen? And when we stand on that, then people can see what's right, what's wrong. And the Holy Spirit can speak. And that's what he needs. Amen? Let's stand to our feet right now. And we're going to pray. I didn't get to my 37 points. Jesus loves you so much. I'm telling you, he loves you so much. When he was on that cross, he was thinking about you. He gave his life, his blood. He said, I'm giving you my blood. Drink it. All of it. Don't neglect any of it. Blood for praying. When he was in the garden, he began to bleed through his pores so that you and I could pray. When they put the crown of thorns on his head, as soon as the thorn went into his mind, a little bit of blood began to come out. That blood is for your mind. You have the mind of Christ. You have access to his thoughts and his reasonings. That blood was for your mind. The devil has no authority to your mind. Amen. The blood of Jesus. Standing underneath the cross that day was a Roman soldier. I don't know where he's from, Italy maybe. He had been used to killing men. He knew what the blood of men smelled like. He saw men curse God, curse men, and die on Roman crosses. But that day, he got in touch with a different kind of blood. And standing under that body, under that blood dripping upon him, he had revelation. You are the Son of God. The blood of Jesus, you pleaded over your children. Oh God, I lift up my child. I plead the blood that they'll have revelation that you are the Christ and turn to you. Use the blood of Jesus for your family, that the eyes of their heart will open up and come to truth. The blood of revelation, the blood of praying, the blood of thorns. On that cross, the Bible says that Pilate commanded, take him and put stripes upon his back. When that Roman whip touched Jesus' back the first time, Isaiah's prophetic word came into manifestation that by his stripes we are healed. That blood began to come down his back, and Isaiah's word began to move on a level it had never moved before. There's healing in the blood. On that cross, his nails were put into his hands. He was pierced for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities. There is redemption from sin in his blood. You can be forgiven. And friend, in closing, I want to tell you, there's nothing you've done that that blood can't wash. That blood didn't just bring forgiveness, it brought eradication. Let me tell you something. That blood can deal with your sin, and into the eternities to come, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. The sin of all humanity was paid for by that blood. Friend, I encourage you, use the blood of Jesus. Get into your cars, plead the blood. Pray over your spouse. Let me tell you something. If you're a married couple, lay hands on each other, pray over each other, plead the blood of Jesus. Plead it over your house, your cars, your everything, your finances. Plead the blood of Jesus over your money. Protect it. All things are sanctified by the blood. Almost all things. You plead the blood as a priest of God, the blood of Jesus, over all that belongs to you. And walk in dominion. Amen? Let me just pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, as these wonderful children come in, we keep our minds on you. I pray for my friends. Lord, in Jesus' name, in this hour where there's so much happening, I know that you're building the church and you're moving us into a place of great glory that is defined by truth. I thank you that you're delivering the church from the murkiness of just fitting in. Like Peter around the fires, not sure what side he stood on. But Lord, I want to thank you. A church on the rock, full of the blood of Jesus Christ, that stands before the throne and speaks mercy. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation, over this church. I believe that right now marriages, that there's revelation coming into men and women right now of what to do and how to pray for their marriage, that healing would come in Jesus' name, that these areas where people pull back from each other because of an invisible thought, an invisible wall, we bind that spirit in Jesus' name that brings a coldness and a wall. We bind it in Jesus' name, that the peace of God through the blood upon that covenant would flourish and children would have peace. Father, we thank you for covering homes right now in Jesus' mighty name. Now let's pray this prayer. If you've never prayed this prayer and you've never received Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer right now and mean it with your heart. Say, Lord Jesus. Everybody together, say, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, that you died for me. You shed your blood for me. Forgive me of my sin. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Make me your child. In Jesus' name, you are my Lord today. Amen. Now listen to me. Because of time, I know if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, you come and talk to somebody in this church and you say, you know, I prayed that prayer and I want to get serious about God. Because Jesus is very serious about you. He loves you. Loves you so much. He loves you. That blood that he shed is what separates you from the death of this world. His blood is full of life. It's full of life. It's full of life. And you can be full of life. Amen? You plead that blood. You walk in that blood. Amen? Well, it's sure nice to be with you. Sure nice to be with you. I just feel like, I don't know. Am I supposed to be done now? We love you very much. And we're so thankful that we can bring Crosswalk into this beautiful nation. We love this nation. It's a powerful nation. We believe that we're in a new season for the gospel. Whether you like it or not, there's something that's lifting off so that things can flourish for a season. Take advantage of it. Amen. Amen. Let's get the harvest in. Love you. Amen. Pastor.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.